It was long after the break of day when Bilbo woke up. There was nobody about, but all the signs of a large and hurried breakfast. There was a fearful mess in the room and piles of unwashed crocks in the kitchen. Nearly every pot and pan he possessed seemed to have been used. Still, he could not help feeling just a trifle disappointed.
Oh, don't be a fool, Bilbo Baggins, thinking of dragons and all that outlandish nonsense at your age. You should be delighted that they have all gone without you. I'll just sit down to a nice little breakfast.
My dear fellow, whenever are you going to come? What about an early start? It's 10:30. They left you the message because they couldn't wait.
What message?
Great elephants. You're not at all yourself this morning. You've never dusted the mantelpiece.
What's that got to do with it? I've enough to do with washing up for 14.
If you dusted the mantelpiece, you'd have found this note just under the clock.
Huh? Thorin and Company to Burglar Bilbo, greetings.
Yes.
For your hospitality, our sincerest thanks, and for your offer of professional assistance, our grateful acceptance. Terms, cash on delivery, up to and not exceeding 1/14 of total profits, if any. All traveling expenses guaranteed in any event. Funeral expenses to be defrayed by us or our representatives, if occasion arises and the matter is not otherwise arranged for. Thinking it unnecessary to disturb you, we have proceeded in advance to make preparations and shall await your respected person at the Green Dragon Inn Bywater at 11 a.m. sharp. Trusting that you will be punctual, we have the honor to remain yours deeply, Thorin and Company.
Yes, and that leaves you, let me see, just 10 minutes. You'll have to run.
But...
No time for it.
But...
No time for that either. Off you go.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
To the end of his days, Bilbo could never remember how he found himself outside without a hat, walking stick, or any money, or anything that he usually took when he went out. Running as fast as his furry feet could carry him down the lane, past the great mill, across the water, and then on for a whole mile or more, Bilbo got to Bywater just on the stroke of 11. There were the dwarves on ponies, and each pony was slung about with all kinds of baggage, packages, parcels, and paraphernalia. And there was a very small pony, apparently for Bilbo.
Bravo! Here comes Baggins!
Up you get and off we go!
I'm awfully sorry. I've come without my hat, and I've left my pocket handkerchief behind, and I haven't got any money. I didn't get your note until after 10:45, to be precise.
Don't be precise, and don't worry. You'll manage without pocket handkerchiefs and a good many other things before you get to the journey's end.
As for a hat, I've got a spare hood and cloak in my luggage.
Then off we go.
That's how they all came to start, jogging off from the inn one fine morning just before May on laden ponies. They hadn't been riding very long when up came Gandalf, very splendid on a white horse. He had brought a lot of pocket handkerchiefs and Bilbo's pipe and tobacco. So after that, the party went along very merrily, and they told stories or sang songs as they rode forward all day, except, of course, when they stopped for meals. At first, they passed through Hobbit lands. A wild, respectable country inhabited by decent folk with good roads, an inn or two, and now and then a dwarf or a farmer ambling by on business. Then they came to lands where people spoke strangely and sang songs Bilbo had never heard before. At last they came to the Lone Lands, where there were no people left, no inns, and the roads grew steadily worse. Not far ahead were dreary hills rising higher and higher, dark with trees. On some of them were old castles with an evil look, as if they had been built by wicked people. Everything seemed gloomy, for the weather had taken a nasty turn. Still, the dwarves jogged on, Then it began to rain, and the wind got up, and the willows along the river bank bent and sighed. Somewhere behind the gray clouds, the sun must have gone down, for it began to get dark.
I'm sure the rain's got into the dry clothes and into the food bags. Father burgling and everything to do with it. I wish I was at home in my nice hole by the fire with the kettle just beginning to sing.
Well, let's stop for supper and see if we can find a dry patch to sleep on.
Hey, where's Gandalf?
Oh, he isn't here.
Just when a wizard would have been most useful.
Well, we'll have to do without him. Owen and Glowin, see if you can get a fire started.
All right.
Look, there's a light over there.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, there it is, through the trees.
These parts are none too well known, and the less inquisitive you are as you go along, the less trouble you're likely to find.
After all, there are 14 of us.
Where has Gandalf got to?
Listen, haven't we got a burglar with us? Well, it's his turn. Now you must go and find out about that light.
And what it's for.
And if all is perfectly safe and canny.
Now scuttle off and come back quick if all's well. If not, come back if you can. If you can't, hoot twice like a barn owl and once like a screech owl, and we'll do what we can.
Well, I'm not cut out for this one.
Bilbo had to go before he could explain that he couldn't hoot even once like any kind of owl any more than fly like a bat. But at any rate, hobbits can move quietly in woods, absolutely quietly. They take a pride in it. So, naturally, he got right up to the fire, for fire it was, without disturbing anyone. Three very large persons were sitting round a very large fire of beech logs. They were toasting mutton on long spits of wood and licking the gravy off their fingers. Even Bilbo, in spite of his sheltered life, could see that they were trolls. Obviously, trolls.
That's good. Mutton yesterday, mutton today, and stumps if it don't look like mutton again tomorrow.
Yeah, never a blinking bit of man flesh have we had for long enough. What the hell William was a-thinking of to bring us in these parts at all beats me.
Now shut your mouth. You can't expect folk to stop here forever just to be et by you and Bert. You've et a village and a half between years since we come down from the mountains. Time's been up our way when you'd have said, oh, thank you, Bill, for a nice bit of fat valley mutton like what this is.
What should I do? I can't go back to Thorn and Company empty-handed. Maybe I'll just slip the purse out of William's pocket. Ha, it's a beginning.
Hey, what's this? Oh, blimey, Bert, look what I've carved.
What is it?
Lummy if I knows. What are yez?
Bilbo Baggins, a hobbit.
A bur-a-hobbit?
What's a bur-hobbit got to do with my pocket, anyways, huh?
Can you cook him?
You can try.
He wouldn't make more than a mouthful, not when he was skinned and boned.
Perhaps they're more like him roundabout, and we might make a pie.
Are there any more of your sort sneaking in these here woods, you nasty little rabbit?
Yes, lots. None at all.
Lots and none at all.
Just what I say. And please don't cook me, kind sirs. I'm a good cook myself and cook better than I cook, if you see what I mean.
poor little blighter. Let him go.
Not till he says what he means by lots and none at all. Hold his toes in the fire till he talks.
I won't have it. I caught him anyways.
You're a fat fool, William, as I've said afore this evening.
And you're a low.
I won't take that from you, Bill Huggins.
Keep on fighting.
There was a gorgeous row, and soon the trolls were locked in one another's arms and rolling nearly into the fire, kicking and thumping, while Tom whacked at them both with a branch to bring them to their senses. And that, of course, only made them madder than ever.
Right in the middle of the fight, up came Balin. No sooner did Tom see him come into the light than he slapped a sack over his head.
Oh, there's more to come yet, boys, or I might have mistook lots and none at all it is. No brobbits, but lots of these here dwarves. That's about the shape of it.
I reckon you're right, and we'd best get out of the light.
You're right, simply to test the sight of dwarves. On course.
With sacks in their hands, they waited in the shadows. As each dwarf came up and looked at the fire, pop, went a nasty, smelly sack over his head and he was down. After some fighting, for dwarves fight like mad when they're cornered, all of them were neatly tied up in sacks with three angry trolls sitting by them arguing whether they should roast the dwarves slowly, or mince them fine and boil them, or just sit on them one by one and squash them into jelly. Bilbo was hiding in a bush where he had escaped during the struggle. It was just then that Gandalf came back. No one saw him, but the wizard saw them. Knowing how trolls liked to argue, Gandalf decided to keep them bickering and fighting by imitating the voices of the trolls. They were about to roast the dwarves now and eat them later, which was Bert's idea. And after a lot of argument, they had all agreed to it.
No good roasting them now. It'll take all night.
Don't start the argument all over again, Bill, or it'll take all night.
Who's arguing?
You are.
You're a liar.
Forget roasting them then, and let's boil them.
Oh, now you're making sense.
No good boiling them. We ain't got the water, and it's a long way to the well and all.
Shut up, Tom, or I'd never get done.
And you can fetch the water yourself if you say any more.
Shut up yourself. Who's arguing with you, I'd like to know?
You're a booby.
Booby yourself. Now let's sit on the sacks one by one and squash them and boil them later. Who shall we sit on first?
Better sit on the last fellow first.
Which is he?
The one with the yellow stocking.
Nonsense, the one with a grey stocking.
I made sure it was yellow.
Yellow it was.
Then what did you say grey for?
I never did. Tom said it.
I did not, it was you.
To go on, so shut your mouth.
Who are you talking to?
Dawn take you all and be stone to you.
Just at that moment, the light came over the hill, and there was a mighty twitter in the branches. William never spoke, for he stood turned to stone as he stooped, and Bert and Tom were stuck like rocks as they looked at him. And there they stand to this day, all alone, unless the birds perch on them. For trolls, as you probably know, must be underground before dawn, or they go back to the stuff of the mountains they are made of, and never move again. Just then Gandalf stepped from behind a tree and helped Bilbo to climb down out of a thorn bush. It was the wizard's voice that had kept the trolls bickering and quarreling until the light came and made an end of them. The next thing was to untie the sacks and let out the dwarves.
How did you get caught in the first place, burglar Baggins?
Well, I was trying to lift the wallet out of William's pocket and...
Silly time to go practicing pinching and pocket picking, when what we wanted was fire and food.
And that's just what you wouldn't have got of those fellows without a struggle in any case.
Well, let's not waste time. The trolls must have a cave or a hole dug somewhere near to hide from the sun.
Good, Killy. Now, if we can find a way to open the big door of stone...
Would this key be any good? I found it on the ground where the trolls had their fight.
Why on earth didn't you mention it before? Give it to me.
What a mess. Bones all over the floor. Phew. What a nasty smell.
I'm afraid it's the bones of their victims.
Oh.
And what do we have here?
Swords. Look, Look at the beautiful scabbards and jeweled hilts.
They weren't made by any trull, nor by any smith among men in these parts and days. When we can read the runes on them, we shall know more about them.
I'll keep this one, and you keep that one, Gandalf. Here, Bilbo. This is a small knife which may serve as a short sword for a hobbit.
Let's get out of this horrible smell.
Let's leave this
Bring place. Out some of that food, then we'll eat and rest before going on.
Where did you go to, if I may ask?
Oh, to look ahead, to look ahead.
Yeah, yeah, and what brought you back in the nick of time?
Oh, looking behind, looking behind.
Now, could you be more plain?
I went on to spy out our road when I met a couple of friends of mine from Rivendell, Elrond's people. They told me that three trolls had come down from the mountain and settled in the woods not far from the road. I immediately had a feeling that I was wanted back. I saw a fire in the distance and made for it, so now you know. Please be more careful next time, or we shall never get anywhere.
Thank you.